us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, I thank you that we're going to celebrate July 4th. We give you praise, honor, and glory because of this nation was built upon you, Father. Now, Lord, be with Brother Jerry as he preaches your word. I pray for those here today that may be lost, that your spirit would draw them to yourself. Now, Lord, when everything is said and done, we will give you only the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see those that are here this morning. We will continue on with our call to worship. So if you'll please stand, we will sing the Star Spangled Banner, number 635. 635.
Church, happy Independence Day. Aren't we thankful that we live in a country where we can freely and openly worship the one true God? I have a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, the church office will be closed on Tuesday for the 4th of July. There's a homebound ministry that is starting up, and I'm kind of excited about this as well. If you have any interest in it, talk to Kelly Farmer. We're going to look at some nursing home ideas, and it's just all in the beginning stages. But if you're interested in serving in that capacity, please see Kelly Farmer. It is July, and so the GAs are going to be continuing with their collection of items, and on the back of our bulletin, there's a list of items that They are collecting gift cards and school supplies and Bibles and non-perishable foods and snack pack items. And all those on that list are awesome things. And if you're like, I want to donate, but I don't have those items, guess what? Check or cash will work just fine. And we'll make sure that we get those items to send down to the Baptist Friendship House in New Orleans. So be praying about how God would want you to donate to that or to give to that wonderful ministry that the GAs are serving to. I think that's all the announcements that I have. I just want to remind you also tonight we do have regular activities. 5 o'clock, the ACT teens are going to be meeting. 6 o'clock will be our worship, evening worship service. Then on Wednesdays, we have activities all evening long for all age groups. And so we encourage you to come back on Wednesday night as we gather together once again. But I think that's all the announcements that I have. I want to welcome visitors. Thank you for choosing to come to Hillcrest this morning. And we want to personally welcome you. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to come by and we're going to shake your hand, hug your neck, or high five, or a fist bump, or whatever you want to do this morning as we sing. So please stand and sing with us.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this land. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this earth. For I'm part of the family of God.
Well, Loretta, looks like you got it today. Loretta just volunteered to sing in the choir. She was going to me. Welcome. What a day. If you're here today, you ought to praise the Lord. There's been some pretty rough weather, and we've weathered that. You know, we always worry about we're always concerned about the sound system during the lightning and all, and God has been so blessed to us about this sound system. We haven't lost one in several years now, and boy, we thank the Lord for that every time it starts lightning. We're going to pray, and as we pray, remember those that are traveling. Quite a few are traveling this week and next week and the week after that, and also some are having surgeries and some are having tests and waiting for test results, so let's pray for one another. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, Lord, what a gracious God you are, a merciful God, a loving God, a forgiving God. And Lord, we sure love you and thank you, God, that you've allowed us to become children of God. I do pray, Father, for those that have never made a personal invitation to you to come into their life. God, that today may be the day that some would hear about Jesus and his love for them and they would invite the Lord in their life. I pray, Father, for the Word of God to go out strong today. And Father, I'm sure many churches will be sharing thoughts about the United States. And I pray for our country. I pray, Lord, that we'd realize that we've become a sinful nation. We've gotten away from the Word of God, and I pray, Lord, that you would let us hear things that would convict our heart, Lord, that at least ways in this place, Father, we would get right with you and make sure that we're right with you. And I do pray for other churches, and Father, that you would use Christians to help straighten out this nation. And God, that we would be on our knees praying for this country and our leadership of this country. I pray, Lord, for those that are sick, those that are going in for tests or surgeries or waiting for test results, Lord, that you just touch them in a great way and encourage them and love them. I pray, Father, for those that are struggling with other issues in their life. And God, we serve a God that knows everything and has a solution for everything. So I lift each one up to you, Father, asking that you just wrap your arms around them and take care of every need, Lord, that they have. Today we'll worship you and we'll read the Bible some and we'll pray some and God will sing some more. And it's all for the glory of God. We do lift the name of Jesus up this morning. And again, we thank you, God, for your love and grace. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, come on down. I'm going to read some verses to the children, and then after we get done with the verses, I'm going to ask that everybody stand, and we're going to say the pledges to the American flag, the Christian flag, and to the Bible. With what we're supposed to do as daddies, as leaders of our home. And this is straight from God. He's telling the men of Israel in the Old Testament what to do, but it also applies to us today. But hear what this says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And here's what he tells us to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's talking to all of us. We need to love God with everything that we have. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. So God is saying we need to love him with everything we have, our heart, mind, and soul. And that's been planted in our heart by God. And then he's talking to the dads. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And then you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and on your forehead and the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. God has just told us how to straighten out our country. We hear the Word of God. We share the Word of God. We continue to tell our children about the Word of God, because if we don't tell you guys about the Word of God, you're going to grow up and not know God. Does that make sense? We have a responsibility, we dads, to tell you what God's Word says. And God's pretty serious. Put them in front of your eyes, guys, dads. Write them over the doorposts of your house as you're going out and going in. Write them on your heart. Tell your children the Word of God. So I'm praying that our daddies here and all over the world will tell our children about the Word of God. Pretty simple, huh? But God says this is pretty serious, too. We have a job to do. All right, I'm going to give you the candy after we do the pledges. I asked some of you to hold the American flag, the Christian flag, and the Bible. I already got them. So Aiden, Baron, and Celine. You'll do it next time, okay? Next time. Okay. All right, you guys stand up. Stand up. Okay, stand up. And we're going to hold the American flag up. Hold the flag up. Okay. I'll help you. Attention. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, good deal. Christian flag. Attention. salute and pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood uniting all Christians in service and love. All right, good job. Bible, Holy Bible. Attention, salute and pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, and will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. All right, you guys did good. All right, you guys can sit down. Thank you. All right. Here you go. All right. There you go.
And you may remain seated as we continue on with number 630, America the Beautiful, 630. Continue on with number 633, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory, 633.
eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of a hundred circling camps, they have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim flaring lamps. This day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Sounded forth a trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. He is wisdom to the mighty, he is honor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool and the soul of wrong his slave. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on.
And you may be seated.
If my people will humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin.
Every time she sings, she goes down that way and bypasses me. I wasn't going to put up with that today. Was that not a good song? Our nation needs to hear a song like that. In fact, the title of my message today is A Nation in Need. A Nation in Need. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Exodus 32. I don't know about you, but as many problems as we have in the United States of America, I'm still proud to be an American. And this is the greatest country in the world, has been, will be, and unless God comes back, is going to be for a long time. So let's read Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to apply some of this to today. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come make us a gods that shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of our land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool, and he made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God," and that's a little g, "little God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" I want you to use your eyes and see our nation as God sees our nation. I'm going to ask you a couple things or share with you a couple thoughts. And everything I say today, I want you to think about what God sees in our nation. See what God sees in this world. So if God were to speak to America on this 4th of July, what do you think he might say to our country? And I wrote down some things, and I'm just going to read them, and you think what God would say. Do you think God might say, "Well done, my faithful nation"? I'll leave that up to you, but I'm shaking my head no, I don't think he'd say that. Do you think he'd tell us how proud he is of the good old U.S. of A. right this very moment? And I don't think so. Do you think he might say, "Your morals are great in the United States. Your respect for creation is great. Your family units are just perfect. And you just do so good in keeping the Sabbath holy." Do you think he'd see that and say that to us as a nation? I just want you to see things today the way God might see them. The truth is that God has already spoken to this nation. He's spoken through his word, and we're going to look at one verse that just kind of binds it all together in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. You know, your preacher sometimes gets sidetracked on my thinking. So I was going over this. I was looking for Proverbs 34, verse 10. And if you know your Bible, there's not a Proverbs 34. And I went back and forth looking for Proverbs 34 and realized I'm looking for Proverbs 14. It's something, how theological I can be sometimes. But look at it with me. Proverbs 14, 34. "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now again, use your eyes looking and see what God sees with us. The first word in this verse is righteousness. And sadly, it's a word seldom used outside of Bible discussion within the church. And you can go a little bit further than that. A lot of churches don't like to use the word righteous. A lot of Christians don't use it very often, and there's a reason for it. I don't think you've ever heard a politician get up and give a speech how righteous he is or she is. And I don't think you've ever heard national news people and cable news people discuss how righteous this nation has become. It's a lost word, really, to our country. The Bible is pretty clear about what God says. Righteousness exalts a nation. The word exalt is to hold someone or something, in this case our country, in a very high regard, speaking very highly of those persons or countries. It also means of nobility, or being noble and with integrity. And I want you to look at our country and our leaders through God's eyes. Does he see integrity in our Congress today? Does he see noble men and women leading this country? Righteousness exalts a nation. Does God see a righteous nation or a sinful nation? Help me out with that. What do you think God sees? I think he sees a sinful nation too. In fact, I know he does. If we look at our country every single day, things are happening that are not biblical. They're outside of God's word. When this country was founded, I think you could have said back then it was a nation that was exalted, because it was founded on righteous principles. It was founded on biblical principles. Some described an exalted nation as being set aside and safe and strong, and that's the way our country used to be. But something has happened. We still have a lot of Christians in this country. We still have a lot of churches preaching the Bible. But how often do we leave the house, going somewhere, and leave our door unlocked? How often do you go out nighttime by yourself, especially women, expecting to be safe? So do you think God sees a safe nation anymore? Do you think God sees a strong nation? We may have nuclear power and all kinds of other things, but do we have the power of prayer in this nation to become a strong, strong, strong nation? The next part of Proverbs 14:34 talks about sin. Do you think God looks at our country as sin-free or sinful? Yes, sinful. Sin means to miss, it's a simple definition, is to miss the mark, and the mark is God's holy word. So when he looks down at this country, do you think that he sees a country that hits the bullseye of God's word or misses the mark completely? And it hurts to say this, but the truth is we miss God's mark completely today. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's what we are. I think God would look down on the United States today and say, that is a country in need. It's in need of God today. So we're going to look at Exodus 32 and just a kind of apply it to today's thinking. So Exodus, go back to Exodus 32. And let's start out in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, and the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come make us gods that shall go before us, for as far this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know where, what has become of him. Let me share with you three major things about the book of Exodus. The first part of it, chapters 1 through 13, is the miraculous deliverance of God's people out of Egypt. So God spends a pretty good bit of time explaining what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and drawing the people out of bondage. The second part is the miraculous journey from there to Mount Sinai, the middle part of Exodus 13 through 18. And then the miraculous revelation of God's word up on Mount Sinai, the last part, 19 through 40. So in 32:1, God's people, we know, have experienced God's provisions and his deliverance. He brought them out of bondage, out of slavery to Egypt. And they saw the many miracles that it took to draw the people out of Egypt safely, and he kept them. They experienced God's provisions of life. Manna, quail to eat, water out of a rock. Their sandals never wore out that we know of. Delivered them from point A to point B. And they experienced all that. They experienced God's revelation. They had the Ten Commandments. And then we get to Exodus 32, verse 1, and they want Aaron to make an idol to lead them because they've lost Moses. We know they didn't lose Moses, but they didn't know where he was. They were so worried. Where is he? So let's pause a minute. and see what God sees in the United States of America. Do we act like the Israelites sometimes? We've lost just a little bit of trust in God. Make me an idol. Let me worship that idol. They did what they wanted to do. Make me this idol, Aaron. Make me this golden calf, Aaron. What they are saying is, I've lost trust in God. From Egypt to Mount Sinai, God has taken care of every single need that they had. Moses went up to talk to God, and they knew that. Yet, I don't know how long, a couple days, and he's not back. And Lord, I don't trust you anymore. Again, pause. What does God see in the United States of America today? Does he see the majority of the people trusting in God, or the majority of people saying, Lord, I don't trust you anymore. This is not relevant in my life, and parts of it is not relevant in their thinking. Even Christians have problems saying, this is part of my life. I'm going to live by it. So, again, I'm just asking you to see what God sees in our country. When God looks at this nation, do they see a nation that trusts God, now hear this one, and respects the leaders of this country? Have we quit trusting God? Have we quit trusting the leadership of this country? And there's reasons why we've quit trusting the leadership. I'll give you that. But before we make idols, don't you think we ought to get on our knees and pray for our leadership? We pray for every single one of our elected officials. And if we don't pray for them, then it's our fault that they're doing the way they're doing. God can straighten it all out. In fact, we'll get to that later on. Have we quit trusting the Lord in this country? Now, I'm going to say it again. Look at our country through God's eyes on any given Sunday during NFL football season. How many people, hundreds of thousands of people, does he see at those stadiums, not in church? Does he see a nation observing the Sabbath on a given Sunday morning? I know that a lot of you like football. But who comes first, God or football? Look at our nation through God's eyes. I have a feeling that when he looks at all those hundreds of thousands of people, go team, go team! And then the next week they sit in the pew going, amen, praise the Lord, if they even say that. You know, that wasn't in my notes. That was just free. But that's what goes through my heart when I think about what God sees in our country, things like that. And he's called me to preach, and when he called me to preach, he opened up my eyes to things I really didn't want to see. I don't like to see sinful people. Amen. I don't like to see sinful church members or sinful preachers. You know what I call that, don't you? Job security. Yeah, keep it up. I got a job. Never mind, I won't go there. Let's look at verses 3 through 4. Exodus 32, 3 through 4. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Right at that moment, they need to remember the provisions that God had provided for them this whole trip to get to Mount Sinai. God had provided every single thing, including the gold that they were forming this calf out of. God had provided all the prosperity that they had. Not a single one of them probably lost weight. They probably gained weight because God fed them so well. Yet they chose to take that gold that God gave them to make them a golden calf to take the place of God so that they could worship something that was just dead. The gold was given to them for a reason. God gave them all that gold for a reason. And we find that reason in chapter 35, so let's read it. Chapter 35, verses 4 through 9. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is willing, has a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord." Now listen to this. Gold, silver, and bronze. Who gave them that gold, silver, and bronze? The Lord did. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin, skins dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, and oil for the light and spices for the anointing of the oil, and sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod in the breastplate. God gave them this gold to supply the tabernacle and the things of the tabernacle, and for God's glory, and to do things in a good way, to exalt God's name and to worship God. Yet they decided on their own to not trust God anymore, to take that gold that He'd given them and make something abominable to God, a little idol. God provided them the things of worship. Again, take a moment and think about what God sees even in our churches. Let me ask you this. Does God still provide for the United States of America? Shake your head yes. What do we do with His provisions? I know a lot of people that make well over $100,000 a year. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not talking about if you make $1 million a year, amen, praise the Lord, as long as you do what's right with that $1 million. Here's what I'm talking about. They make over $100,000 a year, and you look in their driveway, they have a boat, they got an RV, they got a pool, they got a huge house and it's furnished, and they got all sorts of play toys, and they got everything that they want. Yet they never step a foot in church. They never offer back to God what He's asked us to give, which is a tithe. So what does God see even in church members' lives when they don't they come to church Christmas and Easter but never come again? What does God see in this nation? Do you think He sees something about us and says, "I am so satisfied with you guys"? The guys that are not giving God back anything, that's taking His provisions and using them, that has nothing to do with God's ministries. Keep on going and look at verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made for themselves a molded calf and worshipped and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" What do you think God thought about that, His people? They need, at that moment, again, to remember what God has done for them. They're special people. They're God's treasure. And He's told them that. He's loved them. He's given them leadership to take care of their needs. They forgot their number one purpose was to exalt God and worship God. So let's think about what God sees with us. What does God see in the United States? Does He see a country that exalts God? Does He see all His churches exalting God? Or are they doing church for people? People are asking, "What can that church do for me?" I heard this morning that somebody ran into one of our old church members, and they don't go to our church anymore because our youth group was going down. This was before I got here. The numbers were going down, so they went to another church to find a youth group that fits their needs. What would have happened had they stayed at our church and had their youth come to our church? Would they have maybe helped us build up our youth? What can that church do for me? That's what God sees. I'm going to get in some nasty right now. How many people will God see at the lake today? How many people will God see at the beach today instead of going to church? How many people will God see getting ready today to do a 4th of July grill out, even though it's not the 4th of July? How many things does God see that's not worship to Him? And on the flip side of that, how many people does God see that does worship Him on a Sunday? I don't know about you, but I think you can agree with me. Our country, and God sees a country that's in need. And He's willing to help. He gives us a provision for it as well. And Claudia, your song fit perfect right here. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 and 15. I know you've heard this. We preach it all the time. But it's God's word, and it deserves to be preached all the time. So let me remind you today, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, and 15. In fact, I'm going to read through verse 20. 7, 14, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's just like the song said, wasn't it? Well, that song was telling what the Bible said. Now, verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place, saying so well. And then look at verses 16 through 20. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and according to all that I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as a covenant with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, and verse 20, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all people. We either follow God's word or we don't. If we don't follow God's word, there are dire consequences. So as we look through God's eyes as our country, are we keeping His statutes? Are we keeping His commandments? Are we keeping His words? Verse 14, humble ourselves before God. Pray and seek a fuller, relevant revelation of God's word to apply it to our lives. And then turn, repent of our sins, and come back to God. Can you just see God with His arms wide open as we say that? Repent of your sins and come back to me. He's talking to Christians. Lost people have no idea what it is to repent. They've not been shown that. They've not been taught that. They don't understand it. But we as Christians understand God saved us. But we're still sinful, aren't we? 1 John 1:9 tells us to continue asking forgiveness and He'll forgive us our sins. And He got those arms wide open the whole time for us. Turn and repent. This country needs God. We got time. So I'm going to ask you to pray for our country, to come to the altar. You can stay in your pew, but if you would, come to the altar and pray for our country. We need, if we don't pray for our country, who's going to? So we'll take a few moments and then we'll have our invitation. So come on down and Vivian, if you could pray just something. Just go to the Lord and pray. God, we need you. We need help.
Our Father, Lord Jesus, we pray for our country right now. We pray for our churches. We pray for each other. I pray, God, that you would give us eyes of God so that we could see what needs to be corrected, and help us, Lord. Help us not to be part of the sin. Help us not to be part of the problem. Help us, God, to hold the Bible in high esteem in our homes and our lives. Help us to teach our children the Word of God. Help us to bring our children to church. Lord, we're one generation away from being a lost nation, and it's kind of showing now. So many children are staying at home. They don't want to be at church. We're not teaching them, God, the Word. We cry out to you today. We humble ourselves before you. So many at the altar, Lord, they're praying, they're seeking you, they're returning to you, they're asking God with a repentant heart, with a humility, Lord, heal us, forgive us. As we return to you, Father, hear our prayers made in this place. Heal our land. God, we pray for that. We pray for healing. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray, God, for the Supreme Court. God, we pray for godly leaders to raise them up, Lord. Help them to take control of this country. We need you, God. We sure do. Help us, Father. Forgive us and guide us. Teach us. Thank you, God, for loving us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, guys. We're going to offer an invitation. And the invitation is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on down. Maybe you need to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe you need to praise the Lord for what He's doing in your life. This is just an invitation to get right with God, to share your heart with God, to do what's necessary to please God. So I'm going to be down here. If you need to make any kind of decision, need prayer about anything, come on down and I'll pray with you. Father Almighty, thank you, God, for this moment. Fill this room, God, with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Shake the walls, Lord. We love you and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Now I just pray that